1-800-958-9008. So that phone number is 1-800-958-9008. That's the call-in number. Give us a call. You'll be on hold for a few minutes. You'll still be able to listen to the show. And once we're done with our conversation, then we're going to begin taking calls from listeners to hear what they think about impeachment. Or even if you have a question, that would be fine to take as well. Just I don't care what you're going to say about impeachment. My only request is that you keep it on topic. And if we start talking about something completely entirely different, we'll just end the phone call quickly. But to get in, the number again is 1-800-958-9008. Okay, we're going to move forward now with our conversation with R. Jeffrey Smith. He is the National Security Editor at the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, D.C., which is an investigative reporting organization. And a little background on this, and it's part of the evidence that we have got concerning, I guess we would call it the Ukrainian Craper, orchestrated by Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. And his effort, he put out a FOIA request. He was actually able to get about 300 documents from the Office of Management and Budget and the Department of Defense that showed that these agencies were very worried about violating what we've talked about before, the Impoundment Control Act of 1974, which says you have to spend the money that Congress has appropriated. So we're going to talk about that. And furthermore, we're going to talk about a new report that came out just late last week, which also, as of now, is not part of the evidence. It'll be voted on later on by the Senate trial. But the GAO, which is Government Accountability Office, it's an internal government congressional watchdog group. It's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it is impartial. And they came out with a report late last week saying that they believe very much that the Office of Management and Budget indeed broke the law by withholding the military aid to Ukraine. And so that's pretty significant. So we're going to talk about all of this that I had a conversation a little bit earlier with R. Jeffrey Smith. R. Jeffrey Smith, thank you so much for your time.
Happy to be here.
So we just got, at the end of last week, the report from the Government Accountability Office indicating and saying that the Office of Management and Budget actually broke the law concerning its withholding the 300 and, or I guess it's a little more complicated, but holding some a significant portion of the military aid for Ukraine. This was very much related to your reporting and getting the documents between the Department of Defense and Office of Management and Budget, wasn't it?
Well, there was an overlap in the subjects that I wrote about and the subject of the GAO report. The report was about the decision not to spend $214 million out of the $391 million total. So that was what the GAO focused its attention on. Our Freedom of Information Act requests looked at all the conversations that took place between the Pentagon and the Office of Management and Budget after Trump ordered on July 12th last year the decision not to spend the money. And we thought we would find and did find significant Pentagon protest and concern that what the Office of Management and Budget was doing was illegal. And they repeatedly said this to the Office of Management and Budget. But the political appointees, not the career employees, but the political appointees at the Office of Management and Budget just basically ignored their protests and said that it was just fine. That they even told the general, the Government Accountability Office, that this was part of a kind of a policy review. The Government Accountability Office made clear that was a lie because there was no significant policy review related to this going on.
Can you explain some of what the Government Accountability Office said then? You mentioned policy review, and I guess the difference between a policy review and programmatic review. There are times where money can be withheld if it was for programmatic reasons, but not for policy reasons. And as you said, the GAO said this money was held because of policy reasons.
Sure. So this issue has its origins in the Nixon era, when President Nixon repeatedly tried to impound funds, basically to Congress would appropriate money, and he would decide not to spend it because he didn't like what they wanted him to spend money on. And the law is fairly clear that Congress has that power, but Congress made it even clearer by passing something called the Impoundment Control Act, which says basically that the government, the executive branch, has to spend money that's been appropriated by Congress. There are only a couple of exceptions to that. One of them is if there's a a decision to divert the funds elsewhere, you can do that as long as you tell Congress and you get their approval. You can also delay spending if it's necessary to do that for efficiency or for some immediate problem that's arisen related to the way the funds are going to be spent. You can have what amounts to a programmatic reason for stopping the spending if it turns out that it can't be spent. There are sudden obstacles. For example, if Ukraine had somehow blocked its receipt of money, or if it made clear that it couldn't use the funds in the way that they were intended, none of that applied in this case. And that's what the Government Accountability Office basically caught the White House saying that there were legitimate reasons when in fact there were not.
Are there any penalties are there any penalties for violating the Impoundment Control Act?
So it's not a criminal statute, and it's never been pressed in any kind of judicial sense. It's basically in every instance when the Government Accountability Office has declared a violation, it's been worked out in some way. Congress has either reappropriated the funds or it's reached a resolution about the ultimate use of those funds. It is okay for the government to say, we decide our priorities are different now and we want to change them, but you have to get congressional approval. The thrust of the law and the thrust of what Congress did in the Nixon era was they wanted to rein in a president that thought it was totally up to him to decide how this money should be spent.
Again, the documents you obtained from the FOIA request are, you know, primarily, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, emails between the Department of Defense and the Office of Management and Budget, seeing a lot of concerns from the Department of Defense that they were, worried about violating this law, what the GAO says now that it has. The documents you obtained were heavily redacted, but there was one email in particular that another group called Just Security were able to see that an unredacted email in which I think it was Michael Duffy, one of the top officials at the Office of Management and Budget, said that this order is from POTUS, President of the United States. That's not what you were able to see. Do you know how this other group got to see it?
So I think what happened was we sought the documents that both the Defense Department, the Office of Management and Budget didn't even reply in any meaningful way. The Defense Department said you can have them, but at the end of a long queue, so you can have them in about a year. We found a judge that ordered their release on a much more rapid timetable than the government preferred, than the Justice Department preferred, to be precise. They were defending OMB and the Pentagon in our lawsuit against them. And once we got the documents, they were very heavily redacted. There were only a few things that we could glean clearly from the documents, although it was they did confirm that there had been extensive communication between the two and that communication was about the subject of the legality of what the president was proposing to do or had done. So Just Security's reporter, it's a blog, they found their reporter found a source who told them what some of the documents that we had obtained that were in redacted form, what their source said, here are the raw copies without the redactions. And indeed, they made it clear, even clearer than it was before, that the order to stop the funding came directly from Trump. That's the way we kind of expected. That's what we expected because there had been testimony in the impeachment, House impeachment hearings to that effect. People had said that when the Office of Management and Budget's employee revealed to a large group of people inside the government on July 18th at a kind of a meeting that was held by teleconference, they said this order has been given by the president to hold up the funding. It's been given by the president and it's passed to us, passed to OMB through Mick Mulvaney, the chief of staff. So it wasn't a complete surprise that it came, that there was evidence around that it came from Trump. We knew that, but this was additional information, confirming information that it came from him. And what was also very interesting in the documents that Just Security got, and also the unredacted portion, small portion of the documents we got, was that when the note went out on July 25th, shortly after President Trump's conversation with the Ukrainian Prime Minister, the note went out saying, look, we're holding these funds up, and by the way, don't tell anybody. I'm paraphrasing. Those were not the exact words, but the thrust of the email was, this is a sensitive issue, so let's not disclose it to anyone who doesn't need to know. And that's exactly the opposite of what the Empowerment Control Act requires. The Empowerment Control Act requires transparency, and it requires that Congress be informed in a formal way and have a chance to weigh in when the money that they've ordered to be spent for a particular purpose is not being spent. They're supposed to be told.
That is interesting. And didn't this order happen something approximately like 90 minutes after the call between Zelensky and Trump?
Yes. I mean, so there were a whole series of orders. We don't know, frankly, whether someone who was at that meeting, who was listening in on the call, left the call and then ordered this political appointee, Michael Duffy, to stop the funding at that moment. And we don't, so far as we know, the decision was made by the president earlier in July. And it was just, it took a while for it to be transmitted, down the line. So the key moments are, there's a guy who in the chief of staff's office at the White House who said to OMB in an email that we know about, July 12th, the president doesn't want this money spent. And that was shortly after a newspaper article showed up reporting the Pentagon's statement that they had planned to spend this money. So Trump saw this, and he wanted to put a stop to it. And he did on the 12th. And then on the 18th, it was disclosed to a slightly larger group of people. And then on the 25th, there was this phone call with Zelensky, the Ukrainian prime minister, between Trump and him, in which they talked about, what Trump wanted from Zelensky, meaning the investigations that he wanted of his potential opponent in the presidential race. He wanted an investigation of Biden and his son, Joe Biden and his son, Hunter. And then after that, this memo was sent to the Pentagon. Hey, just want to make sure that money's not going to be spent. We've been told that money is not going to go out. So the timing is not interesting, but we don't know specifically that someone left that meeting and ordered it. It was all part of this sequence of events that began on the 12th. Trump decided, a week and a half earlier, that the money was going to be blocked. And then there was various steps taken to carry it out. And as these messages flowed from the Office of Management Budget to the Pentagon, one of them on the 25th, but there were a total of eight. And in those messages, they had to try to figure out language that would make it seem as if they were not violating the law, the Empowerment Control Act. And there was an increasing tussle between the Office of Management Budget and the Pentagon over what that language should be, because the Pentagon's position was, look, the end of the fiscal year is coming up. We're not going to be able to spend all this money. The Empowerment Control Act requires that we spend all the money by the end of the year, And so, by the way, this is going to violate the law. And OMB tried to smooth that over, but they didn't really succeed.
When you and your organization, the Center for Public Integrity, obtained these documents, my first thought was, and of course you got your these documents through a FOIA request, but my first thought was, how did you all get these documents when Congress couldn't?
I'd say we got lucky, and we were very aggressive in court. So maybe more aggressive than Congress. And I mean, my FOIA request went in a week before the subpoena was issued by the House Impeachment Committee. So I asked for the documents a week before the House Impeachment Committees and their lawyers asked for them. And then we just decided that we were going to, we knew these would be important. We knew that they were going to be relevant to the impeachment debate, and we were really going to pursue it aggressively, and we did. So we asked for a preliminary injunction, and we waited 20, there's a 20-day waiting period. You have to wait to give them a chance to reply for 20 days, and then on the 21st day, we filed a lawsuit against both the Office of Management and Budget and the Pentagon, and then we asked the judge to issue a preliminary injunction, meaning an immediate judicial order to release the documents because they had not complied with the law. This is very rare in FOIA cases. It's only rarely granted, but we used the backdrop, the context of this historic event unfolding and this crucial information being concealed as the basis for our preliminary injunction, and the judge agreed. She said that stale information is of no use in a moment of history like this.
And you are still in the courts, or are you trying to get the documents you have now unredacted? Are you trying to further documents too?
Yes, we want them all unredacted. And even Just Security did not give us an account of all the things that were said in the redacted portions of all the documents that we've asked for. So there's a hearing schedule set, and excuse me, it's supposed to unfold in February. Beginning at the end of this month, the Justice Department will have to defend its decision to redact that information. And then we'll protest in mid-February, and then they'll have a chance to respond, and we'll have a chance to respond to them. And then the judge will decide, we hope, the first week in March. We wish it had been on a much faster schedule. We did ask for the court to address this more rapidly. As I said, it's very rare to get this kind of speedy response from a court in a Freedom of Information Act. So this was the best we could do. It's interesting that New York Times is also fighting to get a set of documents related to the Office of Management and Budget, and their hearing schedule is close to ours in timing. So basically, you have two news organizations, not just one, still fighting to get unredacted information from the government, which we hope will display more transparency and more honesty, more truth about what really happened, what people really said to one another, and how it felt at the moment that this aid was being held up.
R. Jeffrey Smith is the National Security Editor at the Center for Public Integrity. You can follow his reporting online at publicintegrity.org. R. Jeffrey Smith, I thank you greatly.
Thank you very much for your interest.